Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria Cole Johnson, the original Lifestyle CEO, and you have arrived at the one place on your internet radio dial where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Today's show, as always, is sponsored by the Handmade Beauty Network. If you're looking for handmade beauty products created with things like shea butter and natural ingredients and natural colors and lots of other natural things to make your skin feel great, the Handmade Beauty Network is the place to go where you can search for products and companies that provide them. You can even search by state. If you're looking to support small businesses in your state, check out our website at handmadebeauty.com and click from the homepage on the membership directory to find companies that manufacture products in your area. Well, guys, it's the middle of the summer, and it's really, really hot. And last week, I was paying attention to the news and seeing what financial markets were doing, and I was listening to all the financial prophets of the day talking about 401ks and IRAs and stocks and bonds and all that kind of stuff, and it was just enough to make my eyes glaze over. And I wondered if some lifestyle CEOs out there who are running small businesses and maybe even raising kids and just trying to keep everything together, wearing all the hats, I wondered if some of you guys might also be kind of in need of a little bit of a tutorial on some of the financial planning aspects involved in running a business. And so I picked up the phone and called someone that I know from Blue Water Financial Enterprises. Her name is Melissa Smith, and she is an expert at helping families and some small businesses as well to put their financial house in order. And Melissa's here today to help us decipher some of the financial language that we need to understand in order to plan for our future and the future of our businesses. Hey, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's really wonderful to have you, particularly since I want to share with everyone how I met you. You gave a presentation at our local Chamber of Commerce meeting, and I thought the information was so helpful, and more importantly, you used terminology and words and phrases that I can understand. So I'm trying to decipher a lot of this stuff myself. So I wanted to share you with your wisdom with listeners who might also be trying to figure out, you know, hey, maybe I'm not making a whole lot of profit in my business, but I'm making enough to invest in the future of my business and the future of my family and my own self personally. So I'm really excited that you're here to share some of that information. I want to get started, Melissa, by asking you to tell everybody a little bit about how you got started, providing these financial planning services. You are a small business owner as well. So bring us up to date a little bit about how you got started in this industry.
Well, I started about 7 years ago as an administrative assistant to a financial planner who also had his own small business. It quickly developed into sales development. I started in the employee benefits market, working with small businesses to maximize benefits to their employees. And then roughly about 2 years ago, I decided to go out on my own. I was laid off of a job because I was the last person hired, and I just decided that I was tired of working for others who didn't share the same philosophy as me, because I believe in educating a client on their options and letting them make educated decisions versus telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came into this industry as an administrative assistant, I had a good chunk of debt. I had wrecked my credit. I was one of those 18-year-olds who had accumulated every credit card that was ever offered to them, stuck bills in a drawer, didn't pay it any mind, and realized that a credit score was something very valuable. So with the help of my financial planner, I pulled myself out of debt, and I rebuilt my credit in a little over a year. So I know where a lot of people are coming from who have been there, because I've been there and I've done it. It can be done.
Well, that's exactly why I wanted to share your story with people, that we all kind of come from a different financial situation. And one of the things we talked about last week when we had your presentation was how fearful some people are about going to a financial planner for one reason or another. What are some of the things that you've noticed in terms of people coming to you? What are some of the challenges and fears that people have in terms of addressing these kinds of financial issues?
Well, the reason people avoid it, I find three common factors.
Okay.
One, they don't know where to begin.
Hmm.
They've got all these financial documents, but they don't know how they go together. Nobody knows how all the pieces fit together.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is they might be scared of what they'll discover.
Mm.
that maybe that they can't attain a goal or a dream as quickly as they thought or hoped.
Okay.
But the biggest reason of all is people are generally embarrassed by the lack of planning that maybe they've done or the mm-hmm. mistakes they've made. But in reality, most financial planners have seen mm-hmm. those mistakes or the lack of planning time and time again. It's nothing new to us. So people should never be embarrassed.
Right. It's like going to the doctor, you think you have this weird problem, and they're like, oh, yeah, I just had someone in here with that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to kind of bring all this stuff out into the open, because the problem with not doing anything, of course, as you know, and sort of getting buried by the fear or the uncertainty is that ultimately, you know, you get to a point where you wish you had, and then it could be too late.
Right.
So here we are. Now let's share a little bit, if you would. What do you say to someone who comes into your office? It's their first time. They may have a little bit of money to, I don't know, invest or spend or whatever, and you're a financial planner. How do you get started with someone?
Well, what I like to do is I call financial planning mapping out your future, whether it's short-term goals, long-term goals, whatever. I figure out where do you want to go, and everybody's different, whether it's planning a comfortable retirement, mm-hmm. buying a new home, college for the kids or the grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's something frivolous like a boat, but it's something that they really want. That's a goal for them.
Right.
So I figure out where they are and where they want to go, and then I map out the roadmap.
Okay, so kind of like you help them put together kind of like a life map that deals not just with finances, but also with lifestyle issues and things of that nature?
Exactly, because if I know where you are and where you want to go, I can make a step-by-step plan and say, if you do this and this, you will achieve your goal, hopefully, by the time that you want to, if it's retirement or college. But like I said, everybody's different. Nobody comes in with the same goal or the same dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, that is just wanting to start a business, but they want to make sure that, you know, everything's financially in place before they delve into this huge dream.
Right, right. And when you talk to people at first, you know, let's just delve right into some of the meat of things. Let's just say, as you said, everybody's different, so we don't always want the same things. But if someone comes into your office and they're kind of beginning the investment process, beginning the planning process, what are some of the most popular options that they have in terms of investing their money in a way that kind of creates a little bit of a nest egg?
You hear lots of terminology. You hear stocks, bonds, mutual funds, CDs, savings accounts. We're flooded with that information on the TV,
mm-hmm.
and we never know what exactly it is. So when they come in, I kind of explain basic terminology. And so for someone that's just coming in, has a little bit of money, they don't really know what to do with it, we start to create some sort of systematic investing.
Okay.
And when I say systematic, I mean every month or every paycheck, we're taking a little bit of money and we're putting it into some sort of investment vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether that's $25, that's $100, that depends on each personal budget.
Right.
And so a stock is a piece of ownership in a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
We hear about Target, Pepsi, Coke. They're out there.
Mm-hmm.
A bond is when you're investing in the debt of a corporation or the government.
Mm, okay.
We're loaning them money, and they're going to slowly pay us back that money over a course of time. That's what a bond is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Many people shouldn't be investing in stocks and bonds
mm-hmm.
unless they have a significant sum of money to diversify into lots of different stocks and bonds. And diversifying just means having a variety.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to put lots of money in huge risk categories when we need some in lower risk categories.
Okay.
So we try to put together a portfolio, and the easiest way to do this for the average investor or someone who's just beginning is a mutual fund.
Okay.
And a mutual fund is a fancy title for an investment vehicle that has lots of different stocks and bonds within it.
And okay, it so you get that diversification you talked about.
Exactly.
Okay.
Other people don't want to start into, you know, the stock market and invest in stocks or mutual funds. So we try to find them a high interest rate savings account.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because some people are a little nervous about investing. Others are not. But we need to start some sort of systematic investing, if for no other reason, to create that emergency fund.
Right, and just kind of, even just to get started, it's so interesting that you said at the beginning of your response there about all the stuff we see on TV. It's almost like, on the Internet as well, I mean, our email inboxes are flooded with all this information on everything from, you know, how to lose weight and be healthier to how to invest your money and how to get rich in real estate, and it's like, oh my gosh, how can I sort all this stuff out? So I'm so glad that you're here to kind of simplify things. And just give some timeless principles, because that's really what we can all work with. It's the timeless principles of diversification and things that you're talking about, and you know, even just you know, starting out with a high interest savings account, just to get your feet wet. We're going to come back and talk with Melissa a little bit more about some of the other investment vehicles that especially small businesses can benefit from. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. This is Donna Maria, of course, and we are today talking with financial planning and advisor Melissa Smith of Blue Water Financial Enterprises. And, Melissa, before we took our first break, we talked about, or you talked about, a recommendation for people who may be a little bit risk-averse or just trying to get their feet wet saving money. You talked about high interest rate savings accounts. And can you share one that you know of?
Yes, and it's one that you've probably seen before on the TV screen. It's from ING. It's the Orange Savings Account. And I love this particular vehicle because they offer a high interest rate. Instead of the normal, you know, 0.75 or 1.25% you might be getting from the average savings account at the bank,
mm-hmm.
I believe the current interest rate is 4.75
mm-hmm.
on these particular savings accounts. And the beauty of it is they can offer that high of an interest rate because they have no brick and mortar to, they have no overhead expenses. You can't just go to the bank and put your money in. It's
mm-hmm.
Wire transferred from your regular bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing is you have access to this money. It's completely liquid. It's your money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not something, it forces you to save it because you can't go to the ATM machine and pull it out. evil of our regular bank accounts is because when you're out, it's so easy to take that plastic card, run to the ATM, and take some cash out.
And just go get it, yeah. And I'm so glad you mentioned that. In fact, and just so everyone knows, neither Melissa nor I get any kind of payment for mentioning this, but that ING Direct account, if you go, by the way, to ingdirect.com/save, and we're just sharing this not because we have any kind of vested financial interest, but just because it works. You can sign up and put $25 into an account, and they did have a special, and it may be over, I'm not sure, but you can check at the website and see, where they would match that $25. So you would open up an account with $25, and within 24 hours, you would have $50 in your account. And I'm thinking, okay, how could I say no to that? So that's a really good one. And there's other ones out there, too. But again, your point is so well taken that, you know, you can't just, you know, mosey on down to the ATM machine or be in the grocery store where they have the ATM machine set up and start taking out that savings.
Exactly.
So that's a really good point. So for small businesses, Melissa, what kind of... You know, small business is great because you get automatically benefits for having a small business that are there by virtue of the wonderful vehicle called the Internal Revenue Code. And so you get tax deductions, you get all kinds of benefits if it's done properly. And I can't emphasize enough the importance, everyone, of checking with an accountant and maybe an attorney as well, one or the other or both, to make sure everything is set up properly so you can take advantage of those benefits. But let's just say, you know, you're a business owner comes in and they have set up their business entity and they're you know, operating it, and they're finding that, you know, they can create some more benefits if they start funding some of their own benefit plans like life insurance and health insurance. Do you help people do that as well?
I do, because it's becoming more and more difficult to retain quality people. So we want to retain the key employees, the ones that are really important to your business cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the first steps we do is evaluate the current health insurance. Now, some employers are price point conscious, which is understandable with health insurance rates going continually upward in double digits. Increases.
Right. Like everything else.
Right. But maybe you want to offer two different options and give a more quality-based insurance plan and give the employees the option of paying an additional sum, maybe a portion of the monthly premium, in order to have added flexibility, lower co-payments, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that helps, especially with families.
Mm-hmm.
Disability insurance.
Mm-hmm. So let's just say you're a small business owner, and there's just, let's just say you own it with your spouse, for example, and you know, you're basically the company that you've set up is the employer.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to start to take advantage of you know, the benefits that come with providing your own your health insurance for you as the employees of your company?
Well, when it's just a husband and a wife partnership,
mm-hmm.
it makes developing a health plan extremely easy.
Oh, good.
Usually they're on the same page
mm-hmm.
With what they want in benefits, how much they want to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not a great issue, and we can develop what we call a health savings account. That's the newest and greatest buzz.
Okay.
And what that is it's a medical plan that has a savings account where you can take a portion of your money and put it into a savings account that is strictly to go towards the co-payments and the out-of-pocket expenses that you would normally incur when going to the doctor's office.
Now,
the catch with the health savings account is that it has to be attached to a high-deductible plan. And when they say high
deductible, it's not insurance.
Correct.
Okay.
So generally, the types of medical plans that go along with the health savings account generally have like a $1,000 deductible.
Okay.
But your monthly premium is significantly lower, mm-hmm. and that money that you're saving can go into the savings account, mm-hmm. and then it's not like the old flexible spending account
mm-hmm.
where you had to use it or you lost it.
Mm-hmm.
It rolls over every year. you don't use that money in that account, it's there next year.
Mm-hmm.
Used towards your expenses.
Right, right. Lots of interesting things. And so that's health savings accounts. And what about things along the nature of, as opposed to health insurance, kind of life insurance and disability? Is that's another area that concerns small business owners.
And it should, because you can't predict when you're going to die, and you cannot predict if you're going to have an accident.
Mm-hmm.
You have a much greater risk of being disabled in your working years than you do of dying in your working years.
Okay. On that note, what can we do to kind of plan for that?
there are life insurance policies, and most people are familiar with those because they buy them during life events. When you have a baby, you buy a house.
Right.
Usually you're buying some sort of life insurance to protect those
right.
needs.
Right.
But disability insurance can generally be easily attained. The only thing to be careful of is, what is that particular insurance company's definition of disability? And they all vary.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them say, we'll pay you your disability benefits if you can't do your particular job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But some say, okay, you're a surgeon. Let's just use it for a plain, simple example. You're a surgeon, you use your hands. You're disabled because you've lost the nerve ending
right.
in your hand.
Right.
Well, some insurance companies will say, well, even though you can't perform surgery, you
right.
can go to a university and teach,
mm-hmm.
which is still within your job spectrum, and so they wouldn't pay your disability. So you need to be watchful when evaluating disability insurances based upon your particular occupation or industry.
Right, and just to make sure you know what exactly it is that you're buying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, read that small print.
Yes.
Now, how about, we've covered a couple of different things here, and just kind of want to recap because it helps me stay on track and hopefully will help listeners be able to kind of categorize things. We've talked about investment tools, strictly financial investment tools, like high interest rate savings accounts, stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. And then we talked about investment tools that deal more with lifestyle. So let's call them like kind of lifestyle and life investment tools, like health insurance, life insurance, disability insurance.
Right.
Okay. And so we can talk, I guess, if we were to categorize these things, the two other things that I can think of, and tell me if I'm off base or if there's more, we certainly want to hear about those, is that if you have kids, you want to plan for college, and also you might want to look at how to figure out how to invest profit from your business so you can minimize your taxes.
Right.
So let's talk about college planning first. For a lot of lifestyle CEOs or parents, and, you know, on a budget, they run their businesses and pay their bills and everything else, and at the end of the day, you know, it's like, oh, my goodness, how are we going to save for, you know, to help our child either pay for college or cover some of those expenses? Are there any good tools that you can share with us to do that?
There's some great tools. The first one, and probably the most popular today, is what you've probably heard of as the 529 plan. That's just the fancy IRS tax code that they've labeled it. And back in 2001, when President Bush passed that tax act, this was one of those tax benefits. And what happens is we pick an investment vehicle, and we put money for college into it.
Mm-hmm.
For the child.
All right.
The great thing about this investment is it grows tax-free.
Tax-free.
It grows tax-free. And then as long as it's used for educational purposes,
mm-hmm.
even if that's private school during their younger years or college, that money gets pulled out tax-free.
So educational purposes is defined as not just, you know, matriculating at a four-year college or university?
Correct.
So if our child wanted to go to a private school for the last 2 years, if we had money in a 529 for high school, we could use it for that?
Absolutely.
Wow. See, that's great. And it's all tax-free. People can give you gifts to add to your 529?
Correct. What happens is the investment is put under a parent's name.
Okay.
And the child is the beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
And this way, grandparents, can invest money in it. Grandparents can even open it. It's a great way to leave a legacy to a child by investing in their future. And we just set it up. It doesn't count towards the child when they go to apply for their federal aid. Every child going into college fills out a federal aid form. It's called the FAFSA form.
Okay.
And any assets in that child's name count against them when it comes to qualifying for financial aid. We don't want that. So this way, it's in the parent's name. It doesn't count against them, but yet they get the benefit of it.
Oh, that's great. So that's the 529, and that's the federal government plan, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Good. So the and again, if you know, kind of following the logic of if a small business wants to kind of use some of the profit from the business, if the business profit or what would otherwise be taxed on the business is used to invest in that plan, is that something that again is tax free to the business as well?
That I would consult your individual tax advisor on.
Okay, so here's an example of this. I'm so glad that we kind of touched upon that because it points up the importance of creating a network of people who have expertise in different areas who can help you figure all this stuff out.
Correct. And I just want to make note that when you choose a financial planner, you should be choosing someone who's willing to work with your personal tax advisor as well as your personal attorney. Mm-hmm. Those three professionals should all be on the same page. We're all trying to accomplish the same goals for that client.
Right, so, right. And that's a good point, too, because a financial planner is not a tax advisor, is not an attorney, is not a financial planner. So when you get everybody together on the same page, you really have a really good team and a win-win situation for everyone. We're going to take another break. I want to let you guys know that you can call your question or comment in about how to manage and invest your money to Melissa at 800-773-0355. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Everyone, welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm Donna Marie, and we're here talking with Melissa Smith of Blue Water Financial Enterprises. And Melissa is just a walking, talking collection of information about things that we can and should be considering about our finances. And when we talked, when we broke last, Melissa, we were talking about college planning, and we had kind of covered three kind of categories. We talked about life planning in terms of health, life, and disability insurance. We talked about financial planning in terms of stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and high-interest rate savings accounts. And we talked about college planning. And during this segment of the show, Melissa, I'd like to talk with you a little bit about kind of employee option planning, if you will. That is, options that you as a small business owner can create using your business yourself to create some investment tools that kind of result from the operation of the business. Do you have any examples of those?
Sure. I just want to preface it by saying that utilizing the best retirement vehicle, it needs to be fit for your particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I start to consult the tax advisor,
mm-hmm.
because we need to consider things like, what's the tax advantages? We need to maximize that as much as possible, but what are the contribution limits? Do they limit mm-hmm. us on how much money we can put in there? Do we want employee involvement or not? Do we want to, this is a horrible word, but discriminate against which employees can participate and which ones can't?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's never a one blanket statement, but I'm going to go over just a couple of the basic ones, and the first one is a 401k.
Okay.
It's a great way to help retain your employees, because I like to visualize retirement as a three-legged stool, and this is common for financial planners. The first leg is pensions, which are phasing out. They're practically non-existent now. The second one is Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a real stable leg right now. And then the last one is personal savings.
Mm-hmm.
The 401k allows the average individual to really stabilize this leg, because for a lot of us, this is going to be how we live through our retirement.
Okay.
A 401k is designed for small to large employers
mm-hmm.
who want to offer a salary reduction plan with the maximum amount of design options. Now, that's just a fancy way of saying how many options do you want available to your employers?
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to make it cost effective for the employee,
mm-hmm.
As well as the employer.
Right.
This is a big complaint for some small business owners, is it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Too expensive. There's too many administrative costs.
Oh.
There's too much reporting that needs to be done. We can actually find fund companies who will do that reporting for you, who will administratively handle it for you as part of the 401k package.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't just completely close off the idea of a 401k.
Mm-hmm.
As an employer, it's your option whether you want to allow matching contributions, meaning,
mm-hmm.
you know, are you going to match 1% of what the employee contributes?
And if we talk about that from the perspective of the small business owner actually being one of a very few employees in that business that small business owner owns, then you're also talking about, if you make a matching contribution, for example, you might be talking about a matching contribution that's deductible for your company.
Right.
Possibly. And we're not trying to play CPA here. But, you know, again, this is just, you know, many of these kinds of expenses, everyone knows, many of these kinds of expenses are deductible for employers. So those with traditional jobs, if you looked at the balance sheet, you would see that a lot of the expenses and the matching contributions and stuff like that are deductible expenses for that employer. So
right.
It's really good to point that possibility out, so you know to ask that question. And I think a question you always want to ask of anybody that's helping you is it deductible? Is it deductible? Kind of get used to asking that as a small business owner.
Right. Another popular vehicle is a SEP IRA, and this is meant for small business owners who maybe have fluctuating income,
uh-huh.
But they're looking for a retirement plan with very little administration.
So fluctuating income is good with a SEP IRA. Why is that?
Because you're not set in stone as to, you know, how much you put in each year.
Okay, and that's really good for small businesses, because so often, you know, we don't make the same in 1999 that we make in 2000. It may be more, it may be less.
Right. And there's also no IRS filing required.
Oh, that's attractive.
Right.
And what's the difference between a SEP IRA, and what does SEP stand for, by the way? Do you know?
Self-Employment Pension, I believe, is what
okay.
the P stands for.
And then there's a simple IRA, which I understand. Is that something different?
It is, and it's meant for businesses with 100 or fewer eligible employees. And generally, these are the types of people that are looking for an alternative to the 401k plan,
oh, okay.
which also has no IRS filing required attached to it.
The 401k plan does.
Correct. And the catch with the simple is you've got to include all your employees who meet a certain number of low requirements. So if you're looking to just offer it to your key employees, this isn't the one to go for.
Oh, okay. Okay. Is there a minimum number of employees you have to do that one?
100, or there's no minimum.
Okay, but it's under 100.
Correct.
Or less, yeah. Wow. Lots of stuff. And so a lot of this stuff can be created so that it's automatically deducted from your business account and just goes straight into the savings vehicle, right?
Correct.
Wow. A lot of stuff to think about. So can you share with us some examples of, maybe an example of someone who, reached age 65 with a certain amount of money and how they invested it and how it worked or didn't work for them? Actually, we have to take our final break, so we'll come back with Melissa's answer to that question, just kind of as a real-life example of how somebody invested their money to their benefit. Because I know, like you said, it's different for everyone. So we're going to come back and ask Melissa that question when we do. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. This is Donna Maria, and we are here this afternoon with Melissa Smith of Blue Water Financial Enterprises. And she is sharing with us some really great, useful, and helpful information to help us wrap our hands around a lot of the financial options that are out there today. And, Melissa, we touched upon this a little bit earlier, but I just kind of want to emphasize how amazing to me it is that in the past 5 or 6 years, this kind of information has become so much more readily available to your average everyday consumer. I was cleaning out an old pocketbook of mine this morning, and I found a newspaper article from 2004, and it talked about 2003, and it talked about this new program that was being announced. I can't remember if it was private or the federal government was announcing it, but where you could go and you could get online copies of your credit report and your credit score.
Absolutely.
And it's this is so great, because just a couple of years ago, that was fairly new.
Right.
When you think about these kinds of things that are so critical to the planning of our lives that for years were not available to your average everyday person until the advent of the Internet.
Right.
So we didn't even know necessarily. We knew that when we applied for credit to buy furniture, they were looking at something, and if we missed all our payments last year, we knew it wasn't good. But what else do we know?
Well, I'm glad you touched on that. People should be checking their credit regularly, just because it's very common to find a mistake on there, something that might not belong to you. And that website is actually annualcreditreport.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get your credit report from any of the three credit bureaus. I don't advise you. You can get one a year from each of those credit bureaus. I don't advise you going in there and getting them all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Actually space it out and get one every so often throughout the year. And I think Equifax will actually, if you pay $8 or $9, they'll tell you your credit score, which is a great thing to know, especially if you're getting ready to go purchase something like a home or something that you know they're going to check your credit. It's good to know what your credit score is before you go in there.
Yeah, and it's really, what you said was really interesting, and since there's three credit agencies, or credit reporting companies, I guess you can get one every 4 months, and that way you would get each one once a year.
Exactly.
That would work well. So you could,
and it's free. And if you're worried about not knowing how to read it, they give you the instructions on how to read their particular copy as well. And it doesn't affect your score because it's a personal inquiry. But it gives you the availability to see what's actually on there. And if there's something on there that shouldn't be, you can go through the proper channels to get it fixed. Right. Better to get it fixed before you go out to buy a new home than when you're trying to get the deal closed.
So one of the things that we can all kind of think about in, when we're thinking about this stuff is how all this stuff really, really does fit together. All of it does.
Absolutely. Financial planning is just, it's one big puzzle. And like I said, you own life insurance policies. You might even own investments. But have you ever sat down and had someone show you how those puzzle pieces fit together? And they do. So if you actually sit down with a planner, they can show you how they work together or how they might be conflicting.
And they're all interrelated, particularly when you are a small business owner and you have, you know, you're married or you might even have a family or you have relatives, maybe your parents that you're taking care of. There's really no distinction in many ways as there were in the traditional workforce between these kinds of issues and your personal life.
Correct. And when you're sitting down, there are a lot of things that you can get a tax break on or the business can get a tax break on if it's planned properly. Like, for instance, did you know that a lot of business owners can get a tax break when it comes to long-term care insurance policies? Depending upon how the business is set up and purchased through those businesses, those premium dollars that you're spending every month can be tax deductible while still protecting the assets that you've accumulated. So you're getting the protection value, but you're also getting a tax break.
Yeah.
Little things like that, same thing with life insurance.
Yeah.
So if there's a way to set it up through the business, do so.
Yeah, that's where your tax advisor, your CPA or your tax planner, your tax preparer comes into play. Well, Melissa, this has just been really, really great, wonderful collection of information, and thank you so much for simplifying some of it because, again, it can be a little bit overwhelming. Can you give us a couple of resources, maybe a few websites or books that you can recommend that we can read kind of to learn some more information?
Sure. If you're trying to learn more about just basic investing, maybe you're interested in learning how to read analysis on mutual funds or stocks. One that I particularly care for is www.morningstar.com. And it's actually a resource that I use when I'm researching funds because they don't work for anybody. They go out and research mutual funds and investments as an outside company. And they'll rate them, and they'll tell you pros and cons to that particular investment.
So they're not getting paid by anybody? They're not getting paid by anybody.
Exactly.
Okay.
And a lot of these mutual fund companies, if you go to their actual websites, they're set up for the everyday person.
Oh, great.
And they will have areas on there with educational pieces that will talk about investment basics, retirement basics, college planning basics. Some of them will have calculators on there to help you calculate dollar figures if you're more of an analytical type of person.
Right.
Some of the more popular ones would be AmericanFunds.com. They're a popular mutual fund company because they have a great track record as well as being low cost.
Great tip.
And then maybe if you're into reading, I know that Money Magazine might not be the best at when it comes to telling you what to invest in, because by the time it's actually been published, a lot of that those numbers are inaccurate at that point. But they have great scenarios where they take a family or they take a couple and they tell you where they are right now and show you what needs to be done and what needs to be implemented. So it's a great resource if you want actual examples of how it actually works.
You know, you made such a really good point there. And you said Money Magazine, right?
Correct. You know, you pick it up in the grocery store line, and they have great articles on topics that are relevant at the time, like the real estate boom, you know, the best places to raise a family, cost of living. They're great in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the point with the, you know, what to invest in, it's not always the most accurate because of, you know, publishing delay.
Right.
But they're a great resource because they simplify things relatively easy.
Mm-hmm.
It'll help you start to learn lingo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Wall Street.
I know that USA Today, over the past several months, and I'm not sure if this is weekly or monthly or how often they do it, but I've read it a few times in their money section. They're doing that as well. They're profiling individuals or families who have certain assets or not,
right.
And they have certain goals that they want to meet, and so they're helping. They have some professionals that they've engaged to help them, you know, make some recommendations to them about what they should do in order to reach their financial goals.
Right.
So we can look for those things. And would you say we could also go on to like our favorite search engine and search on mutual fund websites and maybe just come across some helpful information that way?
Yes, definitely. The revolution of the Internet has become a great resource with information. It's a wonderful tool. There's lots of information. It's a great way to learn the basic fundamentals of investing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a publication that I give out to my clients.
Mm-hmm.
It's called A Woman's Guide to Investing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple publication that breaks it down into whatever topic's relevant for you, whether you just want to know how to go about interviewing a financial planner or you want to know a little bit more about bonds and how they work. And it really breaks it down into a very simplistic manner.
Great. That sounds like a wonderful tool. How can listeners get their hands on a copy of A Woman's Guide to Investing?
They can actually contact me, and I would be happy to send it to them.
Good.
Or because I can get it for a much cheaper rate than you can by going to Amazon or Lightbulb Press, who's actually the company that puts it out.
Oh, great. So how do we get in touch with you, Melissa?
You can call me.
Mm-hmm.
My office number is 301-581-7228.
Mm-hmm.
And my email is probably one of the best ways to reach me.
Okay.
And that email address is mcsmith@finsvcs.com. That's financial services abbreviated.
Okay. mcsmith@finsvcs.com for financial services abbreviated.
Correct.
Okay, that's good. So we can email you and request a copy of A Woman's Guide to Investing?
Absolutely.
Okay, and is there a price? How much does it cost?
It doesn't cost you anything.
Okay, well, we're going to be sending you some emails there. And I'm sure that resource is going to be a great tool for a lot of people. And so if we're interested in engaging your services or getting some more one-on-one advice from you, Melissa, can we call and email you at the contact numbers and email address you just provided?
Yes, ma'am. And just so everyone knows, I get the question lots of times, you know, how much is this meeting going to cost?
Mm-hmm.
The initial consultations, I don't charge anything. It's really a discovery time for you to figure out whether you're comfortable working with me. I believe in personalities meshing. And you need to be comfortable with a financial planner. You've got to be confident in their skills.
Okay. So we want to, that would be great, too, because what you talked about earlier with some of the websites that you talked about, had some tips on how to engage somebody. And, of course, I love that you pointed that out, too, because it's not just a cerebral relationship when you're working with somebody on your finances. the relationship with another person that goes beyond that, because they're talking about your life. And, you know, having met you and talked with you and heard you present, Melissa, I think you just would be wonderful to get some more information from you. So I encourage you guys out there, if you're interested in finding out more about how you can plan for and protect your future and make the most of your financial assets, give Melissa a call at 301-581-7228. And Melissa, thank you so much for being on the show. You guys, it is really hot outside, and I am working up a sweat making sure that I have some great guests coming up for you. Running into a few impediments now and then because people are going on vacation this time of year, but I do have some great shows coming up. You can visit my website at lifestyleceo.com. Click on radio, and you'll see all the upcoming guests. We've got somebody who's an email magazine expert, a printing expert, and all kinds of other people coming up. I'll see you next week here on the show. In the meantime, break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.